Hey
Ooh.
guys.
Welcome back, guys.
Hello and welcome to our podcast.
We are Formula One rookies that have decided to air our opinions online,
bringing you reviews based on weekly races,
as well as our race predictions for the next race based on the F1 game.
Welcome back, guys. It's good to be here today. Hope you all have had a banging of a weekend, a bang of a weekend.
Well, a whole week. We're like...
Yeah, a whole banging of a week.
Of a week, yeah. Because we're at the end of the week now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, how was your week?
My week was actually pretty fair dinkum. I'm not going to lie. That was good.
What'd you get done?
Not much. I started watching a series and I finished it already.
Oh, wow. What show was it?
The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, it's on like a new season now.
Yeah. I finished 20 episodes in 2 days.
So you watch all the episodes in one go. I always found it very boring.
What, just binge watching?
No, Umbrella Academy.
No. I got into it. I was like, let me just watch one episode. And then boom, it was Tuesday. Started on Monday.
Hectic.
It was bad.
That was like...
I was supposed to come into work.
Yeah.
Said I can't make it.
Because you're busy watching. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I used to do that. I used to like cancel plans hanging out with people just because I was watching a show.
But that's okay.
I binge watched a whole lot during the quarantine period, or when I was in quarantine.
I think everyone did.
When I was at the hotel that I was staying at, I had to like not see anyone, and all I could do was watch TV. So we watched, like, my friend and I, we would video call each other and watch like shows, and we watched like 3 whole shows in that time. That's when I watched Outer Banks and all of those.
Oh, I love Outer Banks.
I think it's so weird. When I watched Outer Banks, I thought no one knew about it, and then the next minute, the whole world's obsessed.
I literally watched it on the first day that it came out.
Oh, really?
And I've seen it 3 times since.
And now everyone's obsessed with it. Do you remember when it first came out, no one really knew what it was?
No one knew. And then it blew up. You know, I was on their live.
What do you mean?
They called me.
Really?
Yeah.
Brandon, you're like famous now.
It was like 1 a.m.
You were so famous. Did you speak to Chase?
No, it was Jonathan Pope. Yeah, it was the first live that they did after, like, when they started blowing up.
What did you say to them?
Oh, I declined.
Brandon!
Okay, let me.
Oh, wow.
You were going.
I was going to be on the live. Okay, so what happened was, it was 1 a.m. I couldn't sleep, and I was like, oh, Outer Banks started the live. So I go on it, so I'm like, and then, you know, it says like request. I was just like. Yeah.
Did you say request?
I didn't mean to, and I clicked on it.
Oh my gosh.
And I missed the part where he's like, I'm going to be like calling some peeps who request. And then I'm sitting there and I'm watching, like, my hair was all over the place. I was half asleep, literally in my boxes. That's
1 a.m.
1 a.m, you know, who's actually up at that time
and looking fresh.
And so next minute I see, and it's like, would like you to join their live or whatever it was. And I was like, decline. And he was even like, what the heck, man? This guy just declined my call.
Oh my
I was
gosh.
Like, my bad.
That is so funny. I can imagine being in that anxiety.
You know that like instant sweat?
Yeah.
That's what happened. I was like,
oh, what? No. They can see me.
They can see me. And I'm like, finger in my nose.
No, I don't, you know that. I don't, like, have you ever been in like a waiting room to get into a video call and you're just like waiting, but you're not like really paying attention? And you're like, you don't know when you're going to get on the call, and you're busy like touching your face and doing weird things. And then suddenly you're in the call. So we're now going into
70th
anniversary of Formula One, and it's going to be hosted in Silverstone again. Well, meaning the second race in a row at Silverstone.
Yeah.
But it's the first 70th anniversary that they're having. So we get to watch another British Grand Prix.
Yeah. But it was a good one. It was actually good, believe it or not. Yeah.
Yeah. So last week being the first British Grand Prix, we all eagerly awaited and got to be well entertained.
It was a very entertaining race, I'm not gonna lie.
I just think if we take a step back, the whole weekend on itself was kind of entertaining. Just first of all, with Perez bringing out the first shock of testing positive for COVID-19. And then everyone waiting to see who was going to replace him. And there were all these like options that people were like rumoring who was going to take his spot. I don't know if you know, but they're like these older drivers, Stoffel Vandoorne, he's like an older driver. He used to drive before. I used to like him because he's very handsome. And, I actually follow him now, but I think he drives Formula E, which is the electric cars. And then, there's another Formula 2 driver, Nyck de Vries. He also drives Formula E. So they were both like stand-ins that could have possibly taken Sergio Perez's spot. Like they wouldn't be able to fill in on the F1 race. And, so when I saw the rumors of Hülkenberg taking it, I didn't believe it. Like I thought people were just saying that because they wanted Hülkenberg back into Formula 1 and everyone's missing him because he's just left.
Yeah.
But when he finally, when it came down to the day, like I think it was Friday that he like got on at the track and was getting into the car.
Yeah, Friday.
And I was like, oh my gosh, it's actually happening. He's coming in. And like, I think I always had those thoughts, like, how do you like do 6 months without racing? Like, how do you just get into the car and like start racing again?
It's hectic because of like, the commentary was talking.
Yeah.
And they were like, no one can just get into an F1 car. It's the G-force where it's like, it's literally like pushing against you. You're like, and test arms are like moving all over the place. So it's.
Yeah, because it's like an actual sport. You got to be trained into it. You got to be fit enough to do it. So I think I was thinking that, but I just thought, oh, it's cool. He could just like get in the car. And then it was just, I think in the end, I was just like, oh, Hülkenberg's in. Okay. So now he's like driving this again. And then it was all about, oh, he's in a faster car now. So he could possibly like win a race or get a really good position.
He did well in like the practices.
Yeah. For a person that's come out of like having no training.
He got fourth fastest lap in the one.
Really? In one of the practices. Yeah. I think I was also on it. I was like, oh, Hülkenberg, he can get a podium. Like, because I think we were obviously so against certain people winning. We just wanted anyone to get on there. So Hülkenberg was my next. And I was like, Racing Point's doing well. Like Mercedes, like engine car, like, hey, previously we were really saying that they were on the almost level of Mercedes. Like they were the second team. So we were expecting them to do well. So Hülkenberg was going to be able to do well with the Racing Points. But, unfortunately, it just was a weird thing that happened there.
It was engine problems, right?
Yeah, there was something. No, I don't know.
I got into the race late. I was like, just before they started. And then I saw him like talking, but everyone else is like, revving their engines, and I was like, why is this guy talking and not in his car?
It was actually so crazy because for the qualifying on Saturday, he didn't make Q3. He qualified in Q2. So that was just like one thing. I was like, oh, okay, he's not on Lance Stroll's level because he has been out of it for so long. So there was all that grace that we gave him for not being around. But then coming into the race, it was just this expectation of a top Racing Point finish. And I remember, like, I was also a bit distracted that day. But then when I sat down and like was watching the race, like before they did their formation lap, people were like tweeting and like Instagram posts about like, Hülkenberg's not starting. There's like a problem with the Racing Points. And I was like, this is a joke because most of the things were like memes that always come up. So I was like, it's a joke. It's not real. And then when I was like watching the formation lap proper, then they were like, he was in the pits at that point and they were waiting for the end of the formation lap. And then the formation lap ended and they were like, it's not happening.
Yo, that's so swag. Because now he's rumored that he might not even be able to race this weekend.
Yeah, like I also remember at the end of the race, they were like, it depends, like, if they would do two races with him.
Yeah. Well, he even said to himself, he was like, if I'm here next week, because Perez he only needed to be quarantined for 10 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that could end tomorrow.
Yeah, like
I think it is.
Soon.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
I think we'll only find out tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll only really find
who's
out.
Who's racing?
Well, tomorrow being Friday, but we're recording this on Thursday, so.
Yeah.
So it might be confusing, but our tomorrow. So that was kind of a little excitement on its own, just the whole Hülkenberg. It was almost as if his dream was handed to him and then taken away in like so 2 days.
Imagine like somehow you won the race. That would have been incredible.
It was so crazy. Like people were like full on like backing him, saying that he was going to win. But I think it was also because it was like this curveball thrown into Formula One, and we kind of wanted to like see something exciting happening. And as far as we knew before the race, there wasn't anything exciting to like see, because now there's like this new driver, which is like fresh almost. So it's like something new to think about. But it was also kind of like, what happens now? Kind of, I remember that feeling. I was like, so what happens now? Like a driver like comes off, and then how do they like get replaced? And
yeah, I don't know how it actually, cause like, what if he did like super well?
Yeah. So apparently the points wouldn't have.
It wouldn't go to Perez.
Yeah, it would just go to the team.
Yeah, it would just go to the team.
On other aspects about the team drama, I just know that from watching from Friday, Vettel couldn't do practice one because they had found some kind of issue in his car. They were like, oh, he's not going to do P1, he'll only do P2. And then when he got back in, then they had to take him out again because his car wasn't like, there was something else that they found.
And then he literally came right at the end at P3.
Yeah, like on Saturday, hey, yeah. And then he struggled in qualifying. It's so weird with qualifying.
He did, he just couldn't get the pace.
It's so weird with qualifying is that when you watch it, like you almost see like cars are like so fast. And then, the cars, like they almost appear to be so fast. And then Mercedes comes in and put their fastest lap on. And then it's like, oh, the car's actually really slow because like a Mercedes doing 2 seconds lower than everyone else. Because
yeah, I think there was like a whole second from, it was 1.4 seconds from Hamilton to Verstappen's.
On qualifying?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because Hamilton broke his track record twice in that. First, Bottas broke it, then Hamilton broke it, and then Hamilton broke it again, all in qualifying.
And that was kind of like a rush qualifying as well, because I know Hamilton was really pushing to get like pole at least.
Oh, he actually, Bottas got the fastest and they had all pitted right at the end, and there was like 48 seconds.
Yeah, and then Hamilton had to push to get pole, and he got it. Yeah, because I remember it was just literally the Mercedes fighting against each other for that. Yeah, so that was all Saturday and weekend drama. And then the race on Sunday, I was just trying to think of the start of the race, but all I can think of now is the fact that Kevin Magnussen crashed out.
Yeah, shame.
So yeah, Kevin Magnussen and Alex Albon, they got into a bit of an altercation on the track.
So about that, the commentators were saying there wasn't much that Albon could have actually done to avoid it except pull back. But you can't really be an F1 driver if you don't push yourself to overtake. So they were kind of like, if he didn't do it, then Red Bull would be like, bro. Because that's why Gasly got kicked, because he didn't have the guts to go and push someone. Whereas Albon has done it 3 times now, where he's come from like a horrible position and he's earned points for the team.
He's really good at that. I will give him that. Like, he can come from being 19th and 18th and all the way up to the top 10.
It was 20th.
When? This weekend?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, after the altercation.
Yeah, so they gave him, put it 3 times.
Yeah, so Red Bull were good on strategy. They like changed his tires.
He was supposed to pit twice or once.
It was a one-stop race. Yeah. It was a one-stop race, yeah.
And I was like,
well, thanks to them, they got a penalty. Not a penalty, a safety car.
Yeah, that safety car. Hamilton, did you see Hamilton? He was getting so for sure with the safety car.
Oh, yes, because they were too slow.
It was too slow, and he was like, I need to keep going. And there was a few times where he actually drove next to it.
No, yeah, I remember I wasn't watching like diligently then, but the commentators were saying Hamilton, he didn't pass the safety car, but he was getting alongside him to say, speed up.
Yeah, and he was like revving.
Yeah, because you can't obviously get ahead of him because that's against the rules. So
if he did, he would have, they said something about like 5 to 10 second penalty or even disqualification.
Yeah. It's like completely against the rules on like overtaking the safety car. And obviously it was because everyone wanted to treat it as a one stop and they were taking that easy pit stop because of the safety car. And they all obviously put on their hard tires because hard will obviously get you to the end of the race. Mm. So that was, and hard is obviously hard. It's not as easy to warm those tires up quicker. So he needed to go fast to warm up his tires and he was struggling. Even Leclerc on the radio was saying that he couldn't.
Yeah. So he was like, it's just going too slow.
The safety car was going too slow.
But they also spoke about Hamilton. They were like, Hamilton was just a racist guy. Like, put them both in the car. And,
you know, oh yes, the commentators said that.
Because they also, about 3 weeks ago,
Toto and Hamilton.
And Bottas, they all raced in that exact safety car. So I think it was actually like a opener of the race this past weekend.
Oh, it was like one of those like full-in videos that they were like, I didn't watch it, but I heard of it. They did say that they played, they recorded it apparently a while ago, but they showed it at the start of this race. And that was something. I can't imagine it. Like, if Hamilton had to be in one of those cars and then sit with the guy that's driving it, who apparently is an ex.
He is an ex-F1 driver.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's like telling someone how to do their job.
Also, they were also talking about some project that Mercedes are doing with safety cars where they're going to, like, they're making like a new engine for it so it can almost go as fast as an F1 car.
Yeah. And then they did say that they don't know if Mercedes are going to be the safety car next year. They're like, it's not determined until the end of the
year. Yeah. Cause they Project Zero or something like that. That's what it was called.
But we're pretty sure that Mercedes is going to be the safety car next year, according to the races so far.
I love Mercedes cars. So.
It's funny. We love Mercedes road cars, but not on the track.
Well, the drivers, basically. Actually, nah, I don't like them.
It's just, I was reading a thing actually this morning of, it was, I think, Sky or someone that posted on Instagram saying that Lewis Hamilton said that he doesn't actually want to win the championship this way because he would like a fight. He would like to have like more competition from the other drivers. So
I think everyone would actually prefer it that way. So just scrap your engine, go back to like 4-5 seasons ago, and then we'll have a nice race.
You know? That's what I was actually thinking. I was like, well, if Mercedes feels that way, then they should just like bring back their old engine and then have a go. Stop improving
your car, let anyone else improve and then catch up to you. And then it'll be like, okay, cool, let's race.
Yeah. I remember watching, I don't know if we spoke about this before, but there was this video of Alonso where they were like, what do you want if you could like get a wish or like a dream answered, what would you wish for? And he was like, for all cars to have the same engine.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Because then it would literally be like, who's the best driver?
Yeah, but like Formula One's about the cars.
Yeah, it's also not about the cars.
It's not about the drivers. It's not just,
I think,
we
that's
make
everyone's thing. But it's also, there's also the aerodynamics department and so and so. So if it was the same engine, but you had to like make your car somehow, like the downforce and.
Yeah, I think that's how you can see the difference between like a Racing Point and a Mercedes, because it is the same engine, but the cars perform differently. Mm. It's so weird though, when you look at it on the outside, they look exactly the same. Like if you look at the cars, like they, like if you put two cars next to each other, like Formula One cars, they all sort of have the same shape and body. But if you had to like dismantle them and put them back together, they pieces don't fit in the same, like the puzzle doesn't work out the same way. Yeah. So that's the difference.
I know Ferrari is like a lot heavier though. Like Ferrari cars are heavy.
But Josh, so that was So yeah, so that was what we were saying, that the safety car came in and then they changed their tires. And then, so yeah, then it was quite a basic race afterwards. How do you say his name? Kvyat. Yeah, he crashed out.
So in the race, it looked like he thought it was his fault.
He did think it was his fault. He was so like...
He like pushed the camera out of his way.
Yeah,
like,
he was really angry.
Yeah. But the tires seemed to be a problem that weekend.
Yeah, so his whole thing that I think when you see the replay, like after he blamed himself, was that I think he went off the track a little bit.
He went off the track.
But there was also a puncture at...
It was his rear right wheel. Yeah.
So it wasn't actually his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
He just couldn't do anything about it. And then following him, all the tires kind of disintegrated. I think, I can't remember which lap he came out on. It was in the middle. Yeah, it wasn't towards the end. Because at the end, everything fell apart.
End was a battle. So many people's tires just went wrong. It was Sainz, it was Bottas, Hamilton...
I can't remember what happened with Leclerc. Like, how did he stay sane? Like, he didn't have any issues.
He did well on his,
He took care of his tires.
Verstappen did well with keeping, they were saying that's like what Red Bull's really good at is looking after their tires.
But I think, and this is just my opinion, but I feel personally the reason, like, science, and both the Mercedes tires wore off earlier than everyone else is because they pushed really hard the whole way.
Yeah.
Like Sainz was trying to get position. He was trying to go up the track. He was like really like trying to prove himself basically in the race because he was doing sort of well. Like he was getting past.
Well, him and Norris were like kind of fighting each other. And Norris was even like, if he doesn't go faster, I'm going to have to overtake him. Like he was being pretty reasonable to his teammates, like, you're in front of me, I'll let you go. But then it was like, okay, bro, like, stop stuffing around, let me go.
Yeah, exactly. So they were kind of like, they were competing against each other. And then the Mercedes were obviously competing against each other because Lewis wanted to keep first position and Bottas wanted to win for once, like, at this track. He hadn't won before. So I think, like, if you look at those three drivers and look at how they were racing as compared to the rest of the track, like, say... Yeah. Ferrari already knew they weren't fast enough. Red Bull also kind of knew they weren't fast enough.
Verstappen, like, he was like, I'm so far behind Mercedes, but I'm so far in front of Leclerc.
Yeah.
So he even said, he made that joke where he was telling one of the people on the team, like, don't forget to have a drink. And so, like, you need to stay hydrated. And
he was just chatting.
Like, he was just chatting, like, making jokes because he knew that he was maintaining his speed and Leclerc was maintaining his speed. So there was no way of him catching up and they were just pushing. But then it was like towards the end. And they were saying if Verstappen didn't pit, could he have finished the race in first? Yeah, that was a big thing.
They say that he could have. They say that he could have won.
He could have won because apparently they look back at it and their tires were good enough to finish the race.
Well, I think it was more of that and the fact they didn't know Lewis.
Well, you can't really predict the future.
So if they hadn't pitted and Lewis had the problem, then he would have definitely won.
Yeah.
And they couldn't guarantee that they would not.
I think they knew that Bottas had issues and that's why they pitted.
Red Bull.
What happened was, if you're watching, the commentators, I got so excited. The commentators was like, oh my word, and now it's Hamilton. He's perfect.
Yes.
And then I was like, no ways. I got like so excited. And then they were like, never mind, it's Bottas. And I was just like,
oh yes. They said it. They said it too early. I remember that as well because I was like, oh, okay, it was because Hamilton.
The screen had said Bottas. I mean, the screen had said Hamilton, but then they changed it to Bottas, like the labeling of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was just like...
Oh, was that why he made the mistake? Because I thought he was looking at Mercedes and saying...
No, he literally... It labeled him as Bottas and then it changed to...
Hamilton and then changed to Bottas.
But jar, and I was literally like, oh my word.
I remember
my game got it right. And it was two laps before. Yeah. So I was like, no way.
I remember when I saw it as well, I was like, oh my gosh, because with the two laps, because Bottas was obviously two laps before the end that his tire, the thing. So when I was watching and when they were going, like it was Hamilton, I was just like, oh my gosh, like there's like a chance that there's a different winner because it was two Mercedes now because we'd already heard Bottas had been pulled out and then he was going on about Hamilton.
And then
they were like, oh no, they made a mistake.
And then Verstappen was gaining on Lewis. Hey? It was mad. I was like, oh my word. You literally, you watch the finish line, like as Lewis is coming and you see Verstappen turning the corner.
Yeah, I saw that as well. It was like, it was so close.
And then, who was the fight? It was like a big fight. Oh, it was Bottas and Vettel. They were also pushing and Vettel just kept him in.
Yes, good on Vettel.
He got a point. He was like,
because, yeah, Ferrari needs all the points.
Red Bull did pretty well on getting the fastest laps. I mean, Albon was breaking at every lap that he took after his last pit.
So Albon pitted again?
No. Albon pitted three times in that race.
So, no, I mean, he didn't pit again after the tire drama.
No. But Verstappen got the fastest lap in the last lap, I think it was.
Yeah, I also thought...
Yeah, but Albon had it and they were saying he must make it, he can't claim it if he isn't in the top 10. And then he obviously worked his way and then made it to 8th or 9th.
And then I don't know if it was just me, but I'm pretty sure I heard something on the radio where it said that we can't count on a fastest lap. We can't think of a fastest lap or something this race. We just have to make it home or something like that.
Yeah, that was to Vettel. I mean, to Hamilton,
yeah.
They were telling him because they were just like, you just, every day, so they actually saw, because it's a high speed race, because you can even take a corner going like crazy speeds.
Yeah.
So they were just like, rather just finish rather and not take the extra points.
Yeah, just get take the victory. Because we all know Hamilton likes the fastest lap as well.
Yeah.
so our predictions were, well, my predictions were pretty decent.
I can't even remember mine. I just know that I said Verstappen or Bottas on top. So
I didn't predict Renault would be anywhere near.
I know. I think we both ruled them out of ever getting into top five.
I did. I'm so bummed because I was listening over the last time we spoke and I was like McLaren and then you were like, for real, McLaren? And so I changed it to Racing Points. And then it was Pippin McLaren. And I was just like, oh, Jadeen.
Oh, yeah, because McLaren...
They finished...
Fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I put them as fourth.
And it was Norris. It wasn't Sainz.
It was Norris,
Because Sainz had to...
Well, I said one of the McLarens.
Yeah. So...
And then I said Ferrari was going to be in fifth. McLaren, fourth. Mercedes... third and second, and then I said Verstappen taking the win, but
it
didn't happen.
It was very close though. It could have almost happened. It was very, very close.
Yeah, I would have been so happy.
It was also like no one expected Ferrari to be in the top three.
No one.
That was like such a shock for everyone.
Yeah.
I think they would have been fifth if none of the tire drama happened. I think Leclerc was keeping that fifth position.
Well,
throughout the race. Oh, okay.
Fourth position.
But yeah, like he was keeping that
range. Yeah, he was just like, and Leclerc was also quite far in front of Ricciardo, who finished fourth.
It's weird how.
So it was just, there was just this huge gap from fourth and third, second and first. It was just.
Yeah. The Mercedes were only together, and then it was the Red Bull, and then it was the Ferrari, and then it was the Renault. Like, it was, like, huge gaps for everyone. I don't remember it happening in this race, but the one thing that really irritates me when I watch races is when they go into traffic.
I hate traffic.
Oh, it really irritates me. Like, because I always think of the guy behind, like, the guy that's trying to get the position.
Yeah.
And then once you go into traffic, you're, like, competing against two people. And it's so irritating because I'm like...
I feel like if it's almost an overtaking situation and you're competing, I feel like they should almost move aside
for
you to
and
be
like know which side you're on and stay on that.
Yeah, like they like should be notified, like, okay, they're coming through on the right of you, please move to the left.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Because it always irritates me when like obviously most of the time now it's Lewis, but like as soon as they go into traffic and there was like say like a 5 second gap, it gets pushed to like 10, 15 seconds, like because of the traffic in between, and then you have to clear traffic before you can start racing again, and that's taking your laps away, which is really frustrating. I don't know, I just get really annoyed with it. I remember like before I knew what it was like, I wouldn't think about it as much, but now that I realize that it hinders the personal gaining position, especially when you're not number one, like when you're supporting the guy at the back, you really
I was racing on the Sunday. I raced the same Grand Prix again. And I started first and I ended up spinning out. So when I came back into the track, I was like 14th. And it was so hard for me to get back in because of the traffic. I think, there was a safety car.
Because you spun.
No, like later on in the lap. And it was like 4 laps to go. But it's so hard to gain.
Yeah.
Because I had traffic in front of me plus the safety car. So it was just, and that safety car was for a lap.
Yeah.
So it was basically 3 laps to catch up, and I had like 7 people in front of me, and I was just like, oh my word.
It gets annoying. Like, I mean, the drivers probably hate it, but I mean, the guy at the back is hating it even more. Even like, for me, it's worse about the poor guy that you're lapping. Like, imagine him. I know it happened recently. I think it was Hungary or...
It was Hungary.
Where
there was like the two people that got...
The guy on fifth was getting lapped by the first car.
Well, I'm trying to think. 2 years ago, last year, right before Gasly left,
yeah,
Verstappen lapped Gasly, and Gasly was like ninth.
Yeah,
that was crazy, and they were just like, "How are you letting your teammate lap you? It's you guys crazy. Got the same car."
No, yeah, okay. In that case, it was crazy, but I know in Hungary it wasn't. It was like they're lapping just the tail end people, but it was just it's so like. No, it was like the guy in fifth. I think it was a Ferrari. Like they were lapping. Is that crazy? I don't know. Imagine being in fifth position and be like, I have a good position, but the guy at number one is lapping me. Like imagine like going to your brain.
Imagine.
Like I have a whole lap to catch up to number one. Like
when I just got the F1 game, I was like, I'm gonna sit on like an average difficulty, and I ended up like I lapped third. I was like. I was like a lap and a half in front of third.
Yeah, that's a game. Okay.
I'm just saying, but it's like, imagine being like, I'm making podium, but like first place is overlapping you.
No, exactly. Imagine. I really hope that never happens in a real Formula One race, because that would be really sad. Because that means the guy at third can never even think of getting like first place. Like, I mean, it's the same with Leclerc, but he wasn't even a lap behind. He was like 20 seconds behind. Actually 40. It's always so crazy now when you look at the third.
He was actually 18 seconds behind.
Like at the end.
At the end.
Yeah, but during the race.
During the race, he was about 40 seconds. Because he was 20 seconds. He was 22 seconds behind.
Verstappen.
But because Verstappen pitted.
Oh, yeah. So you gained a bit
Went,
of
yeah. Race.
But also, the other thing is, like, I've noticed this year with the races that Mercedes is so fast that I've only seen it with Lewis, but whoever's like first, he could be like 40 seconds ahead of like the third and fourth guy.
In the last three races, they could have sat for 5 seconds each pit, like when they're changing wheels, and they would still be in front with like 10 seconds.
Yeah, like Lewis could totally, like, not obviously this race, but the race before, he could have done 2 pit stops just for fun. And he would have still been like number one. So yeah, it's crazy that like Mercedes is really dominating this year. They're really fast. Yeah. I'm sure they're loving winning, but for everyone else that's watching, it kind of does get a bit boring. Where I'm not saying that we want them to lose, but if they crashed out once in a while, it does get a bit entertaining, like we saw last weekend with the whole tire incident.
How do you feel about Grosjean's offences? Did it twice.
Oh, yes. Grosjean. So, the funny thing with Grosjean, I did say it in the last podcast, I love him for his, like, fastiness in the race. He likes to like really throw himself around. Yeah. Like he doesn't really care almost.
But he was like, no, that's ridiculous. I was like halfway across the thing, and then like a replay, and he was like literally like not even far off him.
Like I never actually watched what he was doing, but I did hear the whole thing like going down that he was being unfair.
Yeah, so he did a you can only move a certain number of times in the braking zone. Okay. And you can only change direction once. Direction twice.
Meaning to defend yourself.
Yeah, so he like can't remember who it was, but he like the driver
it was a McLaren at
first. It was probably Sainz.
Yeah.
And
it was Sainz.
He was like Sainz moved slightly to the left, and then Grosjean moved to the left, and then he moved to the right to overtake him, and Grosjean moved to the right. So he was like, what the heck, that's illegal, like that's dangerous.
Yeah, Sainz said something like that.
Yeah, right? And then Grosjean was like, oh, I must grow up.
And then he did it again to Ricardo.
Yeah, and Ricardo was like, what the heck?
No, Ricardo was so funny. He was like, oh, that was a bit dangerous. Like he made like this little comment, which was funny.
Like he wasn't even like that upset, but he was just like, whoa, bro.
Watch and then yourself, yeah.
Haas literally knew that like he went straight into the pits. Because he pitted once, but it was like,
he pitted late, so
it was like 20 like something laps.
Yeah, so well, everyone was on the same tire. I think everyone was on mediums when they started, but because of the safety car, everyone took the free pit stop because then they wouldn't have to pit again and they would still keep their position. But Haas wanted to like gain position, I guess. That could be the only reasoning. So they kept him in longer to keep a higher position, trying to just see what happens, I guess, if they.
Because it worked the race before. Let's do it, guys. And then boom.
And then, so when he was like causing all of this disruption while he hadn't even pitted yet. So it wasn't really like real time, I guess, but it was just a bit entertaining. And during the time, the commentators were saying that he is head of the Drivers Association or something. So it's so funny because he's the guy that has to keep the rules in check with the drivers, but he was the one breaking the rules. So every time he made a mistake, the commentators would be like, it must be an interesting meeting. That's going to go. It was so funny.
Did you see that post that George Russell posted and Lando Norris commented saying both hands on the wheel, but or something like that?
Oh, yes,
then George Russell was like, maybe that's why I'm lost in the championship. I was like, oh.
That was funny. Yeah, he was like,
maybe that was funny.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm P20 in the championship. Just shooting himself in the foot.
But George, as well, with his like weekend, he qualified 15.
Yeah.
And broke some rules. I think it was, I can't actually remember why. There was something that happened.
It was, he accelerated in the safety.
Yeah, there was like a flag.
There was a flag, and he kept going at the same speed, so it caused some.
So it was against the rules, I guess, and then he got a 5 grid penalty. Yeah. So he started at 20th. shame. But at least both Williams finished the race.
Did they?
They did, because there was only 2 crashes.
There's 2 crashes and. One didn't start.
Oh, yeah. So one didn't start. So Racing Point. I forgot about that. So, yeah.
Magnussen and Kravitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were the crashes. So, it's Williams, Elise. They both finished the race this week. That was good on them. George, I feel, is leading the team, even though he might not be, but he pretends he is. Also, the funny thing I just saw today was because we all heard Bottas has signed on for 2021.
Yeah, it's another season.
Yeah, for next season. And there was this meme I saw, which was so funny, of because we all know how George is trying to get in there with Mercedes. Like, he's trying to, like, show himself like, as a driver. So there's this meme. It says, Mercedes keeps Bottas for 2021. And then there's a picture of George, and then it says, am I a joke to you? It's really funny because we all know how hard he's trying to.
He's like, hey, bro, do you want me to clean some tires for you?
Like, he's really trying to get into Toto's good books, and then it didn't really play well out.
It's like, and then the time comes, they're replacing and they're like, come to TV.
That's funny if that happens.
Screw you guys.
There was also this other meme that I really wanted to show you, of from last year, Kim, because remember you were saying about how they always, Reynolds and Racing Point are always like calling on each other to like,
yeah,
see if someone's doing something wrong, and they're like,
oh, yeah, you actually sent me one. It was something like,
it was really funny.
Someone says Racing Point and it shows like a face of like Reynolds and they got like this angry face.
That's what I was trying to, I think at least I said it to you. It was a meme. So basically the meme was Racing Point and Renault who were fighting with each other like on petty things this season. And it was Cyril, the principal, with his like hands on his hips, and he's like,
yeah,
oh, Racing Point have stolen our driver because Nico Hülkenberg, who drove for Renault last season, was driving now for Racing Point this race.
Like Racing Point breeds and Reynolds have like, it's like SpongeBob thing. It's like SpongeBob, like getting up from his sleep and he's like, who do you think you are? Yeah, so doesn't seem very happy. That's what the caption is.
Yeah, so because they are like against each other, because they like picking on each other's like team and what they're doing, and FIA needs to like respond. So it was funny that Renault was accusing Racing Point for stealing their driver.
Yeah.
Because Nico Hülkenberg was originally racing. Well, to be honest, he was originally Force India. Then he went to Renault and now he's Racing Point, which is Force India, yeah, if you think about it. So.
And then there's that other one. It's like, it shows Mr. Bean from the movie, like him just making himself busy and on the side of the road, and it's like F1 fans waiting for the British Grand Prix, knowing full well that it'll be a Mercedes 1 and 2 and Hamilton win. Which didn't happen, but
it almost happened.
Yeah.
And I think now every race, I think I'm gonna go into it being, we expect Mercedes to win. So yeah, anything else that happens, Mercedes, we can be like, oh wow, that happened.
It's basically like Mercedes podium. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Which, to be honest, was a bit of a shock with the first race of the season, in Austria, where Lewis actually finished fourth.
Yeah, he finished fourth.
So that was a shock. Like,
no, but that was because of the penalty when he knocked Albon.
So I have a theory. I don't know. Like, it's just my opinion. Like, I might be against everything, but I always feel that whenever it comes to penalties and stuff, Lewis never gets it. Like, yeah, he always gets away.
I think they had to give it to him because it was so clear.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Because even with this pop tire on the thing, yeah, he just kept pushing at the same speed.
Like, I feel like that, like, I know, like, oh, he was nearly at the end and maybe you can't call it as a dangerous like driving, but I would feel like there was a possibility that that tire could have fallen apart all over the track and like caused an accident with cars behind. Like, there was a possibility, like, yeah, we didn't know how well it was going to stay together to cross the line. Like, I know everyone was just waiting for the finish line to see if it happened, like if he did win, but it was just
spun out on that,
like, it was so close. And I think that for me watching the end, it was just more like, how far away is Max? Is Max gaining? Is Max nearly there? Yeah. Like, that was me the whole way. I was just like,
but there has been problems with the tires the whole weekend. I mean, Hamilton did spin. That's what happened in qualifying. Hamilton spun out.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
It was Q3.
Was it Q3? Oh, okay.
So it was like, that's why everyone was like, okay, cool. And that's why Hamilton did his best to make things. Because he only, I think.
He wanted to come back and prove himself because he couldn't record that time when he spun
out. Yeah, he was like sixth on the thing. So yeah, he also had to get into the podium start pole.
British Grand Prix, pretty entertaining. We all were surprisingly, I don't know, we enjoyed it surprisingly to see, even though Lewis Hamilton won the race, it was still an exciting win for us non-Hamilton supporters. So we all look forward to the next Silverstone race this weekend. And I heard that apparently they are going to have new tyres this weekend. So they were going to have different sets of tyres.
Yeah, yeah. So they were talking about what they're going to do. And they were talking, they said, one of the commentators mentioned, why don't they reverse the track? But they were saying it's kind of difficult to do that because you're so used to that, the track, and yeah, doing it backwards, yeah, you kind of...
I mean, it would be interesting.
It would be interesting, but they were saying it's kind of almost dangerous because they only have the weekend to know the track.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't just show up and race it, you know?
Well, if you think about it, if it was a first time Formula One driver and if he was racing it, it would be like...
Yeah, but that's why you start in F3 and...
Yeah, but sometimes, like, back then, I remember, like, I think Formula 3 and Formula 2 are only doing it now where they do the same tracks as Formula 1. But before, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, like, Formula 2 weren't racing some of the races. Like, there were certain, like, places where they do race. So, before when rookies came in from the lower down Formula 3 and Formula 2, they were still, like, new. Like, they still didn't know the ropes. Whereas now when they come in, they know like everything that's going on. Like they're just waiting for a seat. So this weekend, the 70th anniversary, they apparently have a different type of hard compound. I don't know actually what it's called. I just know it's a different type of tire. And apparently it's softer than the normal.
Yeah, they are going to be softer than the normal. So I don't know if they're going to go to like hyper soft and ultra soft and super soft. Like imagine.
But then I just remember the commentators were saying that if that's the case, maybe he was saying, which was kind of dramatic, he was like, they should relook at it and maybe not introduce it in for this weekend because of how bad the tires were last weekend.
But that the wind was hectic, hey? That was they were saying that's like one of the biggest things with the Silverstone is the wind.
Yeah.
It's like you can turn a thing perfectly, but the wind, your downforce has to be on point.
Yeah, so we're originally going into it like last week before the British Grand Prix. They expected it to be a one stop because of the fact that they know the track and that's how the track goes. And if you're on hards, you should be fine. But then we saw that it wasn't that fine because of the whole.
Well, actually, did the tires give in on mediums or hard?
Hard, because everyone. So at this, remember the safety car, everyone put on hards at that time. So, in that case, they think that maybe this weekend would be a two-stop instead of a one-stop, especially if they're putting in the new tires, which aren't as hard as the original ones. So if it's a two-stop, which is actually more interesting, I remember sitting and watching the race last weekend, and I was like, oh, it's a one-stop, it's going to be boring. Because you have to play in a really good strategy when you do the two-stop because... Yeah, it's interesting to see where you come out after that pit stop. So, that's something to look forward to this weekend. I am not sure if we want to do predictions.
I think it's hard to predict after what happened in this last race. But I think Bottas will redeem himself.
Do you think that Bottas will be able to?
I think he could finish. I think Bottas will be guaranteed top four this weekend.
I think yes, because in the sense of Mercedes know what went wrong. And yeah. I think all teams will know what went wrong. So how to not let that happen again.
Yeah. And I really want to stop it.
You know what? If you look at it and say, hey, you did second last week, this week, first. But then the only problem is the speed of the Mercedes. Mm. Like, you can't. I think after qualifying, we'll only be able to tell. But
hey, but things could still go wrong.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, now all we can say these, like, every time a race comes about is something's going to go wrong in Mercedes. That's how someone else is going to win.
That's the only way.
It's not going to be. Something goes wrong. Yeah, it's not going to be because the car is going to push, like, because no other car can actually, like, it's not, it's literally Mercedes is faster than everyone. So predictions going into this week, I would say maybe Renault will be able to.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to give drivers. I think I'm going to give teams. Teams. So you can go first.
So I'm just going to put Ferrari in there just because I still have a little bit of hope for them. So, and I think that they could maintain a fifth, like whoever it is will be able to get a fifth.
Yeah.
If they don't crash into each other or something. So, yeah, so Ferrari, I think I'm going to put Renault and McLaren. I know Racing Point should be an option, but Stroll seems to be struggling on this circuit. Yeah. And also, like, I know Perez might come in and he might be fresh to win, but...
But everyone else has experience on the track now. Like, they experienced it this last week. So Perez coming in, he's going to kind of be a whole race behind.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why, like, and with, okay, we can't really count it, but Hülkenberg in his car wasn't able to get a top 10 in qualifying. So, yeah, I don't know if Racing Point will be top five. So I'd go Renault, McLaren. No. I was saying, so it's Ferrari, Renault, McLaren, Red Bull, Mercedes.
Like that.
That's far?
So only one Mercedes winner, basically.
Oh.
I'm saying like an odd, like, so for me it would be either McLaren or Red Bull. I mean, I'm going to give Albon something. So I think it's going to be...
You're going to say two Red Bulls.
Two Red Bull, two Mercedes and a Ferrari.
If I think that if we had two Red Bulls competing in the top five, Ferrari would be pushed out. I think that...
Well, Leclerc did really well.
Yeah, because he didn't have... Like, Albon was right at the back, so he didn't have to fight off Albon. He, like, but he was literally fighting against a Renault and a...
But he didn't really fight against a Renault.
I know, but that was his competition. Like, if he had a second Red Bull at him, I feel like he would be kicked out almost. Because of the speed of the Red Bull.
For me, I'd say Albon 5, Leclerc 4, Bottas 3, Verstappen 2, and Hamilton. Yeah. Just because.
Yeah, okay. But I don't want to say if it would be Hamilton or Bottas. And I think I'm going to leave it as one Mercedes, maybe, because I feel like the thing with Mercedes is there's something about them fighting against each other. Like, even last race, they were fighting to be on top, like, with their times. Like, they want to, between...
Well, Bottas still wants to win a championship. Yeah.
And also, Bottas wants to win at the British Grand Prix. He's never won in Silverstone before. So, there's a lot of fight between the two of them. So, I think with a lot of fight, someone will go wrong. And we all know what happened with Ferrari. They could crash into each other. So we don't know if that will happen with the Mercedes.
Hopefully, like, as they take off, it's like, dish, and then it's whole 45 seconds.
Do you, if that happens at some point in the season, it will be the greatest race that we see where two Mercedes out of the race. Like, I don't, we've never seen that in a long time. So yeah, if we had a race without Mercedes, it would be a really good race because it's a wide open field for everyone.
It's kind of may the best driver win.
Yeah. Well, not really.
Oh.
But a little bit. So your top five? Did you say them already?
I said yeah.
I wasn't paying attention.
Albon, Leclerc, Bottas, Verstappen, Hamilton.
Okay.
That's a realistic for me. That's realistic.
So we're really excited for this race.
Yeah. I'm actually, after this last week, I think it's going to be a very good and entertaining race.
Yeah, I think we're just going to, like, really be paying attention to what's happening with the tyres. And also, if it's a two-stop, it would be really exciting to see the strategy on the teams. Not only the front runners, because sometimes if they make a mistake at the front, teams like Red Bull, like Ferrari, anyone that's, like, still competing could... due to strategy take the win. So yeah, it's all fun and exciting.
It is indeed.
Okay guys, so we'll catch you in the next episode. We'll see you in the next episode, or hear you.
Yeah,
hear
in us. The next episode.
In the next episode, where we'll bring you the review of the 70th anniversary in Silverstone. Okay, goodbye.
Cheers.
Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check out our Instagram and YouTube pages linked in the description below.
Catch us next week, same time, same place.
Maybe.
Noise.
Yay. Yay!